in the beginning, what happened? They say it's one of the first verses in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we look at that as the beginning of this. But it doesn't say God was created, because God is omnipotent, God is omnipresent, God is not just everywhere, he's every when, because he doesn't exist in this constraint of time. So even though it doesn't specifically say it in Scripture anywhere, it is very logical to assume that at some point, either God created the spiritual realm or it always existed, because that's who God is. He is spirit and he is life. Amen? Now, in Scripture we see, and in the world around us, we see that there are physical laws and physical principles that exist that God would have created. And I want to read from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse something, 1. I think that's all right. Now, faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It, faith is the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. The testimony of faith is what previous generations were commended for. Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm, the spirit realm, he spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. We just found out there's a lot of parents in this room because we saw the beautiful children up here. Okay? You saw my children. You saw Kyrie and Kimmy. Oh, I love them. So cute. Isn't it amazing how, if you're a parent in this room, when you gave birth and created new life, how it resembled you? Have you ever thought about that? Why do I resemble my parents? Why do I have the same skin color? Why do I have the same body type? Why, you know, we think, oh, people just look like their parents. But to take it a step further, you cannot create outside of what you are. This is why no human being gives birth to cats. No cat gives birth to a tree. Yes, these are all different forms of life. But like creates like. And so when we read that God, out of his spiritual realm, created the physical world around us, we can also see examples of how the principles and laws that doctrine his spiritual realm are mirrored in the physical realm. Does that make sense? So I'm going to go with this. If that doesn't make sense, you need to know now. A human creates a human. God's spirit world created the physical world. Okay? It is evident that God created the atmosphere or the air around us to mimic in the physical the properties of himself in the spirit. Air is everywhere, but is unseen by the naked eye. We don't see air, but we see what air affects. When the air blows through the trees, we see the effects in the trees. Much the same way that when God's spirit moves through us, we see the effects of that. Air affects everything it touches, and yet in and of itself is not affected by anything. Now, I'm not talking about design where someone introduces a gas to an unstable environment. That's not what I mean. What I mean is when air blows through the trees, it's air affecting the trees, not the trees affecting the air. Every living thing on the surface of this earth requires air, whether it knows that air exists or it doesn't. When you were a child, you didn't understand air. A moose doesn't understand what air is, but it needs it to survive. Whether a person believes in God or not, God is needed for spiritual survival, for the rebirth, for the eternal life. So God created this physical earth, and then he created a physical representation of his authority when he created Adam, when he created humans. I'm not God, but God created a vessel in which he could pour his spirit and his authority and saying, and he basically said, govern this physical world in the same manner that I govern the spirit world. And he gave all power and authority to man and said, tend it, keep it. Along with that, God created needs. And those needs were all met in his paradise, his Garden of Eden. Physiologically, and we know this now, they might not have known it in detail back then. Physiologically, there are five absolute, undeniable human needs for survival. They are food, water, sleep, shelter or clothing, they can be in the same category, and air. If you are deprived of any of these things, you cannot survive. And with very little of those things, the human body just does not thrive. And I firmly believe that God created us with these physical needs. Food, water, shelter, clothing, air, sleep. For a few different reasons. Number one, so that he could take care of us, because he created the garden. Two, to ensure that we would always need and crave what he created for us. Three, to shine forth his glory. Think about air. If God hadn't created air, every time you breathe in, you could be praising his name. Excuse me. And number four, the one most often passed over, that you would have something to be grateful for. How often do you pray before your supper and don't really think about what you're praying for? Even if you went to work, you made X amount of dollars an hour, you went to the grocery store, you bought and prepared your own supper. Why is God not thanked for that? He should be. Our physical needs are all mirrored in spiritual principles, and we can find them in Scripture. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 16, and we'll talk about the first human need I listed, food. I said Exodus 16, yeah? Okay. Exodus 16 and chapter 2. So at this point, the Egyptian, or sorry, what's that? What did I say? Chapter 2 and chapter 2? So at this point, the Israelites have left Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea, and this is about 2 months later. 2 months. I want you to remember that. They were enslaved for 400 years. They've now been free for 2 months. Somebody tell me, what's that work out to in our time? What's 12 times 400? Oh, Kenzie's downstairs. She's so quick. 4,800? Who said that? Love you guys. So it's 2 out of 4,800. There's a very small percentage. Verse 2. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us into this wilderness to kill us with hunger. The sheer hubris here. They saw God's divine power in the plagues of Egypt. They saw his deliverance through the Red Sea. And now they're saying, I wish we had just died in Egypt. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day. Give us this day our daily bread, huh? That's its roots right here. Every day, so that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. He didn't just meet their needs, he's also teaching them. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much. That was basically so they could keep the Sabbath. 2 months out of Egypt. And they not only want to go back to Egypt, but they wish they had died there. Because, well, at least in our slavery, we had bread. The Israelites were hangry. That's in the dictionary now, folks. You best believe it. Look it up. Hangry. Who knows what hangry is? That's when you are hungry. Yeah. My wife no longer asks me what's wrong. She says, are you hungry? Because it's usually the truth. When you are hungry, you don't make great decisions. How many of us, when we're hangry, make very considerate and well thought out choices? God provided them with what they needed daily. But he did it in such a way that they would have to come to him daily. He says, only collect for today. It says later on, if they tried to collect more than one day's worth, it would go rotten and moldy and they couldn't eat it. Give us this day our daily bread. God wants you to daily come to him. Jesus said that in the Lord's Prayer. Pray it like this. When you feel hungry, do you know that feeling of hunger? That's because when your guts are deprived of food, your body releases hormones. And it sends a signal to your brain, I'm hungry, go find food. These hormones affect a part of your brain called the hippocampus, which is critical for memory and decision making. The hungrier you get, the more hungry you are, the less and less important everything else becomes. I just need to stop what I'm doing and eat. That becomes the focus. The less important everything else becomes, and the likelihood of a fast fix increases dramatically. We even have a name for it, fast food. What can I do? And it really is awful in a culture that was built to romanticize work and long and hard, laborious practices, like in Western Canada. What can I do to stop working for the least amount to get the fastest possible fix and get right back to work? You know, who remembers when Didi or Tison was here? We were describing our culture to him, and at the time we went to the restaurant that was at the, not Nova, Garden Court. And we were waiting for our lunch for 45 minutes. Like, that's awful in Canada, right? I'm not going to wait for my lunch for 45 minutes. And he did not understand that. He says, in the French culture, because he lives in France, when you go out for dinner, for example, that is your evening's plans. When you go to a restaurant in France, you're not planning to eat quickly and run home. You can easily expect to be there 2-3 hours because there's wine and cheese. There's talking. There's fellowship. There's music. When they order it, there's no rush because that's the culture. Here it's bam, bam, bam. And it's even worse in other parts of, you know, the United States, for example. I read a thing this week. A gentleman from the UK, the United Kingdom, he came to the United States with the sole purpose to judge the food. Because he said, I heard that they eat way too much in the States. Now, it's also true in Canada. But he went to different restaurants and he ordered child or junior portions of food. And he would take pictures of them and saying, this is easily twice the amount an adult would receive at a restaurant at home. In the children's portions. The hungrier you get, the less and less important other things become. Your only drive becomes get rid of the hunger. How stupid are people? Like, I love them all, but on the whole, we're not a smart species, are we? We know. Why? Because we live in an age of modern science. We know that fast food is unhealthy. But we love it. We also know that we're going to be eating every day two or three meals. That's just something we know. So why is there no forethought? It is statistically proven that when a meal is planned, when a meal is created, it is more sustaining, more satisfying, and generally healthier. Fast fixes only take care of one issue, hunger. They do not take care of health. The book of John, chapter 28. How about 6, verse 28? She's got me in my head. Chapter 6, verse 28. They replied, "So what should we do if we want to do God's work?" Jesus answered, "The work you can do for God starts with believing." It does. The works of God does not start by memorizing scripture or giving money to the poor. The work of God starts with believing in Jesus. They replied, "Show us a miracle so we can see it, and then we'll believe in you. Moses took care of our ancestors who were fed by the miracle of manna every day in the desert, just like the scripture says, he fed them with bread from heaven. What sign will you perform for us?" See, they're still grumbling. They grumbled in the desert, and now they're grumbling about when they grumbled in the desert. "The truth is," Jesus said, "Moses didn't give you the bread of heaven. It's my Father who offers bread that came as a dramatic sign from heaven. The bread of God is the one who came out of heaven to give you his life to feed the world." "Then please, sir, give us this bread every day," they replied. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Come to me every day." How often? "Every day, and you will never be hungry. Believe in me, and you will never be thirsty. When your spirit is deprived of daily Jesus, it gets hangry. The more hungry your spirit gets, the more susceptible you become to unhealthy alternatives. Spiritual hangriness, but you don't go to Jesus, you don't go to the Word, you don't go to prayer. You go to quick fixes to quell that spiritual hunger, whether it be a hobby, whether it be media, whether it be unnecessary business or busyness that you tell yourself it's harmless. Or it can be addictions such as drugs, alcohol, pornography, gluttony, slothfulness. You can lie to yourself and you say they're harmless as a substitute for Christ. But Jesus is the only daily source of bread that will always satisfy, will always satiate, and will enrich your life. The daily bread of Christ is the healthy choice. What was the second human need? Water. Literally, every single cell in your body needs water to live. When you don't get enough water, you get dehydrated. And other than the thirst that follows, one of the early signs of dehydration are dizziness and lightheadedness or a headache. Or in other words, the main focus of your entire being. Because if you've ever been in bed with a migraine, or you've ever been dizzy or lightheaded, how many of you are thinking about literally anything else? It is the only thing. It steals your entire focus. Being dehydrated or deprived of water causes symptoms that are impossible to ignore, and they only have one solution. Drink. Flip back a couple pages to John chapter 4. It's a story we all know, but I've got to read it. In verse 5, Jesus arrived at the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Wearied by his long journey, he sat on the edge of Jacob's well and sent his disciples into the village to buy food, for it was already the afternoon. Excuse me. Soon a Samaritan woman came to the drink to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." She replied, "Why would a Jewish man ask a Samaritan woman for a drink? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus replied, "If you only knew who I am and the gift that God wants to give you, you'd ask me for a drink, and I would give you living water." The woman replied, "But sir, you don't even have a bucket, and this well is very deep. So where would you find this living water? Do you really think that you are greater than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it himself, along with his children and livestock?" Jesus answered, "If you drink from Jacob's well, you'll be thirsty again. But if anyone drinks the living water I give them, they will never be thirsty again. For when you drink the water I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, flooding you with endless life." The woman replied, "Let me drink from that water so I'll never be thirsty again and won't have to come back here to draw water." By not drinking in the life that flows from Jesus, or like the example he gave, by only taking in the water you can attain yourself. That's what he was saying. You can draw this water yourself. You can drink, but you'll always need more. Now, you will constantly fight the symptoms of spiritual dizziness that will always take your focus away from the will of God. If you are spiritually thirsty, your focus is not on God. Your focus is on, "I don't feel right." The difference between water you find yourself and the water that Jesus provides is this: faith. It doesn't take faith to fill your own cup from a water cooler. It takes faith to rely on Jesus. Amen? The next one is shelter or clothing, because they do provide the same purpose. The purpose of, covering. The purpose of covering is what? To provide protection from the elements and from external dangers. You know, let's face the truth. Life isn't just what happens to us, but around us. You know, when the temperature hovers around 30 degrees, we tend to leave our dwellings. We tend to wear less clothing because there's no immediate danger from outside. When it hits minus 50, without proper shelter and clothing, we die. If I was standing, you know, 50 miles to the west out in the middle of a forest somewhere, or 5 miles even, things like bears and moose and cougars would pose an immediate threat. In this room, not so much. Does anybody feel threatened by a moose right now in this room? No. Is there even sense to think that? No. There are external dangers to our bodies, external dangers to our health, and even our lives that preventative protection saves us from. Most of the time, without your conscious realization. Psalms. Ooh. Who can guess what chapter I'm going to? Close. That was a close second, but 91. When you abide under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. He's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me, the only God for me and my great confidence. He will rescue you from every trap of the enemy, and he will protect you from false accusation, from any deadly curse. His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. You can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield keeping you from harm. You will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have a fear of spirit of darkness coming against you. Don't fear a thing. Whether by day or night, demonic danger will not trouble you, nor will the powers of evil be launched against you. Even in time of disaster, with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. You will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment, for they will be paid back for what they have done. When we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. Staying within the shelter, the covering of God. See, the difference between God's shelter and my house, when I walk out of the house, I'm no longer sheltered by my walls and my roof. But God's protection never leaves those who are safe beneath the shadow of his wing. For here is what the Lord has spoken to me. Because you love me, delighted in me, and have been loyal to my name, I will greatly protect you. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will feel my presence in your time of trouble. I will deliver you and bring you honor. I will satisfy you with a full life and do with all that I do for you. For you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. You know the difference between a principle and a promise? A principle works regardless of the intent. Okay? I have nothing I can drop, but we know how gravity works, yes? Do I need faith to tell me that this is going to hit the ground? Do I need to look back to ensure it hit the ground? No, because the principle of gravity says it's going down or it's coming towards the center of the earth, yes? That's a principle. When I plant a seed in good soil, the principle of sowing and reaping takes place. I don't really need faith to plant a grain of wheat and expect wheat. A promise is this: I will answer your cry every time you pray, and you will feel my presence in your time of trouble. I will deliver you and bring you honor. I will satisfy you with full life and with all that I do for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. But what was before that? Do you even remember what I read before that promise? Because you loved me. Because you delighted in my name, in me. Because you have been loyal to my name. Three separate things: love, delight, loyalty. I can love God with all my heart and be completely disloyal. Right? Honor your mother and your father, why shouldn't that apply to honor your heavenly father? Look at your actions. Look at your words. Do they express loyalty to God? Because that is the promise of the rest of that chapter. Love me, delight in me, be loyal to me. That's all yours. And that whole chapter is about the protection that follows his loving, loyal children. Stop blaming Satan when things go wrong. More often than not, it's because we're disloyal. Does God punish us? No. Because he promises straight, I have punished one man for all. But if I walk out of that shelter, what is it we're afraid of when we think about believing God's words and living his will? It's as though every day we think we need to build a new house. What has to happen in your life before you gain the revelation that you cannot do anything to earn God's presence, anything to earn God's love? He's standing there with open arms, welcoming you in. I want to wrap my arms around you. I will protect you from the threats and dangers that exist. Next one is sleep. Everyone needs sleep. And believe it or not, as far as science goes, the biological purpose of sleep is still kind of a mystery to us. But we know what happens when we sleep. Sleep affects almost every type of body tissue and system you have. From the brain, the heart, the lungs, your metabolism, your immune system, your mood, your personality, and your disease resistance. Research shows that a chronic lack of sleep or a habit of poor quality sleep increases the risk of disorders, including high blood pressure, cardiovascular diseases, diabetes, depression, obesity. Sleep is what helps with these ailments. If you're getting little to no sleep, you have trouble learning. You have trouble focusing. You have trouble reacting. I love how medical this is, and yet we still live in a culture where we demand our doctors work 40 hours at a time. Sleep deficiency can also make you feel frustrated and cranky and more anxious than usual. To summarize, sleep is the body's natural way to reset. Who's ever had a computer bog down or slow down? What is usually the number one suggestion? Turn it off and turn it on again. Do you understand the science behind that? If you don't, essentially, if you're looking at your computer screen, even if you're doing nothing, there are millions of computations happening behind the scenes that you will never see. Much the same way that inside your body, there are trillions of cells at work that you're not thinking about. But when a computer gets bogged down with so much, it can only process so much at a time. And the harder it's working, the more bottlenecked those processes are getting. And so they say, turn it off, stop all those processes, turn it on again, and let them function normally. That is what sleep does to your body. The more you stay awake and bog yourself down, the less you can do. Go to bed, reset. The body needs to be turned off and on again to reset, to be refreshed, and to be rejuvenated. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 25. Then Jesus exclaimed, Father, thank you. For you are Lord, the supreme ruler over heaven and earth. And you have hidden the great revelation of your authority from those who are proud and think they are wise. And you unveiled it instead to little children. Yes, Father, you've chosen to grant this precious plan to extend your kingdom. You have entrusted me with all that you are and all that you have. No one fully and intimately knows the Son except the Father. And no one fully and intimately knows the Father except the Son. But the Son is able to unveil the Father to anyone he chooses. Are you weary? Are you carrying a heavy burden? Come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine, learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. Your spirit needs rest. Jesus wants you to rest. And if your physical body is worn out, its needs will overshadow your spiritual needs, which is why physical and spiritual rest are so crucial to your overall health. And I like to say it this way, if Jesus needed to rest, you need to rest. This is the Son of God who was born by spiritual means. And even he needed food, water, and rest. So do you. Now the last one. Air. I actually talked about this a couple weeks ago. Air contains a gas that is crucial for life. What is it? Oxygen. Without oxygen, if you stop taking in oxygen, permanent brain damage occurs within 3 to 4 minutes and death within 7 to 10 minutes. Lights out. Air isn't something you can do without for a while. You can fast or abstain from food. You can go all day without a drink of water. You can stay up all night without sleep. And you can live outside indefinitely as long as the elements are favorable. But you can't not breathe. Breathing is the only human survival need that you do without even thinking about. Your body, by default of its natural function, breathes. And you don't have to think. Inhale. Exhale. You don't have to. Your body does it. You have to think, eat. You have to think, drink. You have to think, sleep. You don't have to think, breathe. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. I'm just going to put these up here. Then the Lord God formed a man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Next one. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on the slain that they may come to life." And 2 Timothy 3:16, every scripture has been inspired by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. Before the Israelites were grumbling about bread, Moses had an encounter with a burning bush. And it was the voice of the Lord. And in Exodus chapter 6, verse 2, I've looked at this in a dozen different translations. And it says, God spoke further to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord." Oh, I don't like English. I've read this in 12 different, and most of them say the exact same thing, "I am the Lord." In the Hebrew Bible that Moses wrote, when he wrote, "I am the Lord," it says, God spoke to Moses and said, "Yahweh." He didn't say, "That's me." He didn't say, "It is I." He didn't say, "I." When you read the phrase, "I am the Lord," it sounds so stoic and authoritative. But when Moses wrote down his experience, he wrote these words. And then God spoke and said, "The direct Hebrew to English translation in the script is our letters YHWH. Because there was no vowel sounds in the Hebrew language. They were connected with the consonants. Ancient Hebrew was fascinating. But it was a spoken language translated into writing. When they did write it, it became Yehovah or Jehovah. It was changed to Jehovah in the 12th century AD when the Latins took over because they didn't have a Y in their language. It's that simple. That's where we get the name Jehovah. If the Jehovah's Witnesses existed prior to that, they would have been Jehovah. Or Yahweh. When you read it written, you see Yahweh. But that's not how it sounded. Because as we just read, God is the breath of life. His spirit gives life. I believe God created the physical air around us and our need to inhale the good, exhale the waste in such a way that we would mimic His own name. Every time you breathe, you're saying the name of God. He is always with us, whether you choose to acknowledge it or not. We need to allow in and expel the waste. We need to breathe out everything that is not of God with every single breath. And just as though our physical body cannot go 10 minutes without oxygen or it dies, how much less can a person's spirit go without God? Without Him, there is no hope for life. The Bible says God is spirit. The Word of God says the Spirit breathes. They breathed on them and gave them life. They breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit, which is God. The breath of God is what the Spirit is. And that is your life. Father God, thank you for breathing new life into me when I said, I believe in Jesus. Thank you for your breath of life that gave me the gift of your Holy Spirit and eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, for your daily bread that sustains me. Thank you for your water that I may never thirst again. And Father God, thank you for the protection under the shadow of your wings. Help me maintain my spiritual health by coming to you to meet all my needs and not going for quick fixes that the world offers me. In your name, Yahweh. Amen. And amen. Well, God bless you all. Praise God. If anyone needs breath, come see me. Amen.